And so, tonight, we want to first of all say that we're thankful for Brother Decker's message this morning on holiness. And it kind of ties together fairly well with the thoughts that I've been pondering on for the last few days, the last few weeks. And so tonight, with the Lord's help, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you tonight. And in any, I don't want to come across any way, maybe, you know, it's not meant to scold, so don't take it that way. But and maybe you won't take it that way, but I just want to say tonight that I want to challenge each and every one of us tonight, because this is for me too. This is for me too. And so we want to challenge you to get into or go deeper in your relationship with God. And so, you know, as I was thinking, just like Brother Mike makes it a point to read Pilgrim's Progress once a year, you know, I want to make it a point. There's a story, and I actually got the audio book this year, and so I spent a lot of time listening to this audio book, and the book is called, I don't know if anybody's ever read it, but it's called In His Steps. Anybody read it? Sister Sherry? I challenge you, get that book. It's actually, you can get it online and download it, but In His Steps, it's very, very challenging, very, very challenging. And so the whole book is based on the premise of what would Jesus do? If you go to do something, or let's say you go to make a decision in your life, or you're you know, making a particular decision about your day, base your question on what would Jesus do, or base your day on what Jesus would do. So tonight, you know, this book here chronicles the lives of those who made it that guiding principle, that before they did anything, they asked themselves that question. And so, you may say that this might be a message on consecration. And what is consecration? Does anybody know? We hear that word.
Holy devoted.
Okay, wholly devoted to God, right? Our being, our time, our talents, all those things are devoted to God.
Right.
All right? And so, you might say this might be a message on consecration, but however, I'd like to approach it just a little bit differently this evening. And so first, before applying this principle to our lives, we must be saved and living holy. That's the reason why I say that Brother Decker kind of laid the groundwork for what our thoughts are, because we cannot really ask the question, what would Jesus do, if we're not living a holy life, right? Because the Bible tells us in many, many places that Jesus was holy, right? He was blameless. He was blameless. He was tempted in all points and did not sin. And so, Jesus lived a holy life. So in order for us to be able to apply this question to our lives, we have to be sin-free. We have to live holy before God. And so, again, what does it mean to live holy? Live free from sin. And can we live free from sin? Absolutely. We can live free from sin tonight. Nominal religion will tell us that we can't. They will tell us that we've got to sin. We can't help it. That's not true. Why? Why would Jesus come, die on the cross, give his life for us, and not provide a way for us to live free from sin? Why would he leave the Holy Spirit for us, or to dwell in us, to help us in our journey with Jesus? So we can live free from sin. God provided that way. God provided that way tonight. So I want to turn to Romans chapter 12, and I want to look at verses 1 through 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, and then I want to go to another translation. I thought this was very, very good. But Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in this other translation, reading the same verses again, and expounds on it a little bit more and a little bit differently. And it starts by saying, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, going to work, walking around in life, and place it before God as an offering. I thought that was very profound. Everything that we do, let's take those things that we do and place it before God as an offering to Him. So in other words, and I'll explain this a little bit further, but what would you have me do? What would you have me do with my everyday life? Kind of goes right along with, what would Jesus do? And it goes on to say, and place it before God as an offering, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-informed maturity in you. So, Jesus came to earth, talked about here about maybe, the fact that, us putting our everyday lives in what would Jesus do? And I thought about, what did Jesus come? Jesus told us in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, what was He here about? And just to give you a little background, this was when, remember, they went to Jerusalem and they left Jesus in Jerusalem, and they get partway home. They says, where's Jesus at? He's not even here. And when they finally did find him, what did Jesus say? Does anybody remember? I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. So Jesus didn't come here for earthly acclaim. He did not come here to, accumulate wealth for Himself. But He came here to save the lost and dying world from their sins, and to show the world that there was a better way to live. Now, young people, if we're saved tonight, we are children of God. Wouldn't you agree with that? Okay, so we are children of God. If we're saved, we're children of God. So the question, I'm going to have a lot of questions tonight, but shouldn't we have or be about our Father's business? If we're children of God, shouldn't we be about our Father's business? And so we'll go a little deeper into that tonight. If we're saved, we're children of God. Or if we're not about our Father's business, are we too busy chasing what the world has to offer? Remember this translation that we have here? It says, don't become so well adjusted in your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Are we taking our everyday, ordinary lives and offering them to God? Or are we becoming too adjusted to our culture, allowing our culture to influence our decisions? How often do we get caught up in, maybe it's peer pressure? I face peer pressure just like you face peer pressure. Just in a different way. But do we conform to the culture that we're living in? Or, I know this is something that might be a little difficult, but shouldn't the children of God be the trendsetters? What do you think about that? Shouldn't we be the trendsetters? Shouldn't we be the ones that say, this is the way to live? Not allowing the culture around us to dictate to us, this is the way to live. But sometimes, all too often, that's what we allow our culture to do, is say, this is the way to live, and we conform to it. But shouldn't we, young people, be the trendsetters? Shouldn't we be the ones showing the world that we're living in that this is the way to live? Isn't that what Jesus did? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what Jesus did. He was saying, this is the way to live. This was the way to live. How often do we ask God what He wants from us? How many times do we go and say, Lord, I want. Right? Would you agree with that? A lot of times we come to God with a long list of requests. But how often do we come to God and say, Lord, what do you want for my life? What do you want from me today? Remember? Should we be about our Father's business? That's what Jesus was doing, right? Sometimes I believe we're afraid to ask. How often do we get down and pray, Lord, I know I probably should ask this, but I don't want to. Why? Aren't we afraid as to what God will ask us to do? Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes I think that we're afraid to ask God because we're afraid of what the answer is going to be. I would like for you to go visit this person today. Or I would like for you to go and witness to this person today. We don't ask that question because we're afraid of what God will ask us to do, right? But just like the song that we're gonna read a song here after a bit. But we should, again, if we're consecrated to God, right? We're wholly set aside for God to use how He would like for us to use us, right? But all too often we're afraid. God, what would you like for me to do today? What would you like for me to do today? How about, what should I do in this situation? You know, sometimes we get into situations and we think, oh, this is the course of action we need to be taking. How often do we stop and say, Lord, what should I do in this situation? How should I handle this situation? Maybe there is some sort of dispute, or maybe there is some sort of... Couldn't you imagine Jesus, and there was some, you know, let's just say, for instance, he faced persecution all the time, right? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, all those religious leaders of the day was always trying to entrap him into something. Now again, I think it says that, you know, if everything was written down, the world couldn't contain all of it. So we just see small things in the Bible, you know, conversations and parables and those sorts of things. But don't you think all the while Jesus is saying, Father, you're going to have to help me. I don't know the answer to this situation. I need your help. But how often do we stop in situations like that and say, Lord, how would you like for me to handle this situation? Because I don't know how to do it. And how often in our own earthly wisdom do we take a particular course of action and we make the situation worse? How about, Lord, what should my attitude be in this situation? I know sometimes Lord has to work on my attitude. And I'm sure He has to work on your attitude too, right? It was kind of funny. We had a situation arise just this week. And I know my wife was, indignation was rising up within her. She was getting a little fired up about it. But I think that she had to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, you're going to have to help me with this, because if not, I'm going to be bitter over this." And really, in all reality, it was something very, very small, but it was just something that just really got under her skin. And how often do we have things that get under our skin and we just let that fester and we let it, you know, have you ever had, I've had, you know, like thorns. I actually had a thorn get in my finger and it's sore and it's festering and I've had metal do that and it just, I mean, it becomes a very, very sore spot. And every time I touch something, it hurts. And how often do we let that happen to us? We let things fester. It becomes a real sore spot. When in reality, we should have gone to God and say, "Lord, what should my attitude be in this situation? God, help me with my attitude. Help me with my attitude. Lord, what would you do in this situation? What would you do in this situation?" And when we do go to God and we ask that question, He gives us an answer. How responsive are we to it? There's the key. We go to God. That's one thing. The second thing is God gives us the answer. But then, how quick are we to respond to it? How responsive are we to the answer that God gives us? You know, anytime that we go to God, God's going to give us the solution to the problem. He's going to give us the right answer. God's not going to direct us in the wrong way. He's going to give us the right answer. Sometimes that answer may kind of go against the grain a little bit as far as we're concerned. It may hurt a little bit, thinking, you know what? As we talked about last night, you know, about building bridges, sometimes it may mean that I am in the right, but I may have to be the one to apologize. Make that first step. And that hurts. That hurts our pride. But God help us. God help us to lay aside our pride a little bit to do the right thing. To do the right thing. God will give us the solution. God will give us the answer to do the right thing if we but ask Him to do it. But how responsive are we when He gives us that answer? That's the key, young people. That's the key. How responsive are we? Again, as Brother Decker has mentioned many, many times, how responsive or how we can be as spiritual as we want to be. We can be as spiritual as we want to be, young people. And I guess the question is, how bad do we want to be spiritual? How bad do we want to be spiritual people? Let's just say that if we allowed this principle, what would Jesus do to guide all of our decisions? I'm not saying that the whole youth group would do this. This is something that has to be done on an individual basis. But all I'm saying is I'm just trying to help us a little bit here. Maybe think a little bit deeper. But if we were to go and say, "Lord, what would you have me do?" Or base all of our decisions on what would Jesus do in this situation, where would we be a year down the road? Where would we be 5 years down the road? Where would we be 10 years down the road? I would say that we would be much further along in our walk with God and much deeper in our walk with God and accomplishing more for God if we would base a lot of our decisions or all of our decisions on that particular premise. Again, just want to challenge you tonight. Just want to challenge you tonight. You know, the people in this book, some of them were very wealthy people. Some of this one person in the story, she was a young lady. She sang in the church. She had a beautiful voice. They say she sang like an angel. And actually, she was going to have, you know, her plan was to actually go to the big city and have this big singing career. But she based her life, or she based all of her decisions on this premise. And what she ended up doing is she ended up going to what you would say the inner city, the slums or whatever, and she used her talent to sing hymns in their tent meetings. And she spent, you know, as far as the book was concerned, she spent her life working in, you know, in the inner city, working with people that were down and out. A lot of people thought, well, that was a waste. That was a waste of a talent. Really? She was using it for God, winning souls to God by using that talent. So young people, what I'm trying to get at tonight is that if we would base our decisions on, or we would ask ourselves this question when we go to make a decision, what would Jesus do? I think we find that our life would be different. Our life would be changed. Like this verse in the Bible said, from the inside out. From the inside out. But what do you think Jesus would do if he came across a TikTok video with foul language? TikTok seems to be a really, really big thing right now. What do you think he would do? Well, now remember, I'm just talking about in our culture today. If Jesus were living in this time period, in this day, yeah, more than likely, he would probably take his app and his TikTok app and delete it, right? What if Jesus had the opportunity to listen or watch media that promoted fornication, drinking, smoking, cussing, drugs, and murder? Do you really want me to say it one more time?
No,
that's fine. Okay. Sister Perseus.
Delete the app. What video he was watching on.
That would be very true. That would be very true. What would Jesus do when someone was spreading rumors and lies about him? And we can read about that in the Bible. As he was hanging on the cross, think about it. He was being crucified. What did he say? What did he pray to the Father? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While he was dying on the cross, he was still praying for those that were persecuting him. Can we do that in our persecution? Can we pray for those that are persecuting us? Oh, that hurts. Right? That goes against the grain a little bit, right? What would Jesus do if tempted to do something he knew what was wrong, or knew that was wrong? Well, remember, in the wilderness he was tempted, right? He was tempted to turn a stone into bread. He was tempted to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. What else? Tempted with the kingdoms of the world. Just bow down to the devil, right? What'd he do? He said, get away from me, right? It is written. He came back, it is written. It is written. What if Jesus had the opportunity to sit and veg out all evening on his phone and spend some time or spend some time reaching out to someone that is sick, lost, or in need of encouragement? What do you think that he would do? What would his decision be?
Go visit.
Reach out. Again, These are wonderful things. These are wonderful things. We can either use them for good, or they can use us. They can use us. We have that choice, right? We have that choice. We can either use them for good, or we can allow them to use us. Young people, we are way too attached. I'm even way too attached myself. Way too attached to these things. Wonderful, wonderful thing. But again, if we're not careful, we'll allow them to use us. Young people, again, whether we like to admit it or not, we are too earthbound. We're too earthbound. We're too caught up in a lot of the things of this earth. We are affected by the world more than we think that we are. And so, as we close tonight, if you want to look at your book, but I just want to read it, I'm not going to sing it. But page 210, take my life and let it be. It says, take my life and let it be, consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. At the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. You know, we can use our feet, young people, to go to the places, take the gospel to ones, visit ones, do whatever God would direct us to do. Again, if we would ask, Lord, what would you do in this situation? Or what would you have me do today? It says, let my voice, or take my voice, let me sing, always only for my King. Always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. God help us. God help us to make that our aim and goal every single day, is to have Him control this right here. This right here gets us into a lot of trouble. Right? Gets us into a lot of trouble. But it says here, take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not let a mite withhold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my moments and my days. What do you think about that? It breaks it down into moments. Life is filled with moments. This song says, take my moments and my days, let them flow with endless praise. Again, what's coming out of here? You know, God wants us to praise Him, right? Not only within the congregation, not within the young people's group, but are we out there in the world giving God praise? Are we giving God praise that's due Him? You know, what a wonderful way to witness to people. What a wonderful way to witness to people. So take my moments and my days, let them flow with endless praise. Take my intellect and use every power thou shalt choose. Verse 5 says, take my will. We all have a will, young people. But it goes on to say, and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart and thine own. Or it is thine own, sorry. It shall be thy royal throne. Verse 6 says, and take my love, my Lord I pour at thy feet, its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only for thee. So young people tonight, again, just wanted to challenge you a little bit. How much deeper could we go with God if we would base all of the things that we do each and every day, especially, you know, in our quiet moments at night, maybe it's the end of a work day, and we go to sit down and say, Lord, what would you have me do with this? You think, well, that's kind of weird, but really? Really? What would you have me do with this? I know you've got a lot of people in your contact list that you could say, hey, you know, just reach out and say, hey. You know, as God directs, maybe somebody, he'd lay somebody on your heart, and you could reach out to him and say, you know what, just been thinking about you today. I want you to know that I love you. I care for you. Maybe that's all you say. Maybe you go through your contact list and you reach out to those ones that God, you know, puts on your heart. Or we could spend all this time right in front of this cell phone and spend it on ourselves. But remember, what did Christ come for? Remember, we're children of God, just like Christ. He came to earth to be about his Father's business. Are we being about our Father's business as we ought? So we appreciate you. We're thankful for you. And our aim and goal is to become closer to God, and our aim and goal is to see our young people become closer to God tonight.